the New Spirit Radio Show by Nova Spiritus. Wednesday, September 4th. I am your host, Michael McClellan, with my co-host, Tom Bigley, coming to you live from San Jose, California. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Michael.
Coming to you live from San Jose, California, as we will every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Can you believe it's September already, Tom?
Oh, my God, already? When did that happen?
I don't know. This year, I think, has just flown by. So we are both ministers with the Society of Nova Spiritus, and we're very excited to be hosting the Nova Spiritus New Spirit Radio Show. Tonight, we want to play the first part of Sylvia's CD, Angels, Guides, and Ghosts. We probably won't get through the whole thing, so it'll probably be like a two-part. And next week, I know Sylvia does do a wonderful meditation as far as meeting your guide, but also, too, we want to go through how to do a house blessing. A lot of times people do have spirits or ghosts and want to know how we can help them make the transition to the other side. So we will go through that, including how to make holy water. Sound good, Tom?
I agree. I agree with that.
Well, good. Thanks for being agreeable. So, the CD is actually from one of the lectures that Sylvia did. I think it was with Hay House. There's a little disclaimer at the front of it, and also she is introduced by a Hay House person, Nancy Levin. So, if you want to get a piece of paper and something to write with, I'm sure she's going to give out a lot of wonderful information and really clear up any questions you may have about the difference between angels, guides, and ghosts.
So, do we need to start playing like ding, 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 ding while they go get some pencils and paper?
No, I think they probably, some people I think already have it because they know a lot of good information comes through the New Spirit Radio Show, we hope. And we hope to continue that with all kinds of audio clips, not only Sylvia, but her spirit guide Francine and the master teacher and healer Raheem. And getting excited to introduce them on the radio show, too. So without further ado, should we go ahead and get right into the first one?
Absolutely. On your mark, get set.
This program was recorded with a live audience. Please forgive the occasional sound fluctuations.
World-renowned spiritual teacher Sylvia Brown has over 60 years of experience as a psychic, 20 of which have been spent studying angels. Sylvia will draw upon her latest work to show us how much more enriched our lives will be if we can learn to listen to the angels' heavenly, blessed messages. And without any further ado, please join me in welcoming Sylvia Brown.
God bless you for coming. Love you too. I'd like to address the difference between spirit guides, ghosts, loved ones, angels, because I think it's very confusing. You know, sometimes we don't know who's in our house. Well, even if they're living, we don't know who they are. The spirit guide, please, please, it's not your grandmother, it's not your husband, or your, you know, whoever. It is someone that you may have had a life with, but rarely. But they have had to study for what we think of, although there's no time over there, which makes us crazy when we think about that, right? That studied for a long time to be your guide. So they're the companions along the way that stand to the right of you and nudge you and help you. They're the ones that give you the ticker tape messages. People are always saying to me, why don't I hear my guide? You do. That's what gets you to call Susie and find out she was sick. That's what makes you drive down another street and figure out there was an accident there that you might have gotten into. They're always, you know, people say, I wish I could hear my guide. Trust me when I tell you, it's not the most pleasant thing in the world. You know, people always say, my guide sounds like one of the chipmunks. He's got a high chirping voice. In fact, the first time I heard my guide, I went screaming down the stairs. My grandmother's doing a victory garden, and I said, oh, Grandma, I heard this voice. She said, I come from God, and I have nothing to be afraid of. She said, oh, we've all had those voices. Pick the turnips up. That was my introduction to it. No long talk, no sit down and let's discuss it. She did a little bit later. The angels are, and it's so hard because we think in finite terms. I do too. Because if God always was, so were all of we. We have always existed. And I'll tell you why. If God decided one day to make a Karen, a Sylvia, Susie, John, Pete, then God's imperfect. So God always was, so were all of we. Whether we exist in the mind of God or separate from God. And being, see, this is what makes me crazy. We all have no problem with, I always will be, but don't we have a problem with, I always was? See, because our time goes this way, doesn't it? So you say you always were, we go, oh. But if you put yourself in a circle, you can get it. Because it goes in a circle in the now. But for our finite mind's sake, the first entities out of the chute were the angels. And they are pure entities. They're androgynous. In other words, they have no genitalia. I don't know if that matters, but... Yeah, isn't it? It's kind of nice. You don't have to worry about anything. No. Nothing hangs, nothing does anything. Just, you know what I'm saying. No hot flashes. Perfect. But they do look male and female. There are many phylums of angels. Now, here's where the rub comes. No one in human form becomes an angel. We do not change phylums. A dog doesn't become a cat. A cat doesn't become a dog. All right. Now, here's how stupid I am. I got up in front of large groups of people for many years and said, don't be stupid. Angels don't have wings. Because I thought it sounded goofy. And, of course, not going to my guide, I just took for granted that why would an entity God make have wings? I mean, birds have wings. Okay, I'm in my son's house. This shows you never get too smart, right? Because there's always something very humbling that makes you don't get too smart because God will humble you. And I didn't think I was smart. I just thought it was logical. But anyway, I was going from the room, from the bedroom into the foyer, through the foyer, in to get a glass of water. Right in the doorway, he has very high ceilings, stood this gorgeous, and I mean huge, angel. Very male looking. Guess what he has? Wings. Now, what do you say to an angel? So I am thinking, I have a lousy nightgown on. I mean, that's how we think. My hair is like, you know, I mean, you'd think you'd like to look nice for an angel. As if they don't see us all the time. So I said, hi. You know, so eloquent. Because after all, I have a master's degree in English literature, and I... And he nodded, and I thought... And see, I am not... Regardless of what you think, I can go to hauntings, and I can see spirits, I can see everything. But I don't walk around choosing to see all kinds of things, because I have to live in this world, and as you know, I'm very practical. So I thought, well, you know, I could be asleep, half asleep. I might be in an astral state. Who knows? So I went and got the water, drank the water, went back through. There he was. So I walked through, smiled at him. And the whole time I'm thinking, damn it, he's got wings. And his wings were glowing. That was so marvelous. They were sort of greenish. A greenish glow to them. So then I went back to my guide, being stupid as I was, and said, why didn't you tell me that angels didn't have wings? She said, you didn't ask. Oh, you know, your guides make you crazy. They can just make you crazy. And why they have wings is almost to denote what phylum they come from. They don't flap around. It's almost like if we wear a uniform. Do you see what I mean? So in other words, if they're green, they could be archangels, or they could be seraphim or maroon or cherubim or charities or thrones or principalities, gold, silver, whatever. Because there is a phylum of angels. But we don't become angels, and angels don't become us. Now, I think if there's anything close to angels on this earth are animals. I really do. Because, you know, they have unconditional love. They're like little guardian angels sent here from God. You know, I really do believe that with animals, because they don't have avarice. That's why animals don't have to reincarnate. People say, I know my cat was my dog before. No, it wasn't. And you don't become a tree and a rock or whatever, or a cow or a chicken. You don't do that either. That's a transmigration of souls that come from the old ancient Eastern Indian belief. Not that it's wrong, but the phylums do not change. It wouldn't make sense. Be logical. We keep coming into life to learn. And being human probably is the hardest phylum of all, because we have to learn for God. Now, people say to me, if God is all-knowing, why the hell do we have to come in? Good sense. Because if you know something, you still haven't experienced it, have you? So let's say, for sake of argument, God is intelligence, all-knowing, all-perfect, okay? But let's say, because we know we're double-sided brains, we are the emotional side of God that's experiencing for God, sending data back, not only for the perfection of our own soul, but experiencing for God. So while you're going through your experience, yes, God knows the end result, and your contract with God isn't broken. And the only way it's broken is if you commit suicide. And don't raise your hand and say, my son committed suicide, because most of the time, 99%, people that do commit suicide are bipolar. So most suicides do get to heaven, unless they do it out of spite. Then they have to come back and do this whole damn thing over again. And if that isn't enough to keep you here, I don't know what it is. We have an X number in the lives. People say, how many lives do I have? Well, you can have anywhere between 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. I haven't seen anybody with more.
So how many lives do you want to have?
I think a lot, since we're here at kind of the very challenging times. That's interesting. Sylvia just basically explained the reason for life, you know, why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Is yeah. Experience for God. I think that was, actually, I remember when Sylvia told us about when she saw the angel at Chris's house. And,
oh, yeah.
It was pretty, what would you say if you saw an angel? You know, hi?
Yeah, exactly. And before you were saying there's no wings, and now all of a sudden you see all these wings, you go, I love their expression of, Oh, now I got to tell everybody to have wings.
Well, I just think that was her, you know, down-to-earth, logical, practical self, where she just thought it was a little silly to, you know, have wings flapping around. But I think that she said, you know, usually they're not flapping.
Right.
And I think it's also awesome that she said, you know, angels on earth are animals, because animals are so awesome, and, you know, especially dogs.
Be careful, there's cat lovers too.
I know, yeah. They're so independent, though, you know, it's like they don't care. A dog, you know, the joke is if you put, you know, your partner, your spouse, and your dog in a trunk for an hour and then open it up, who's going to be happy to see you? All right. Well, thank you, Sylvia, for explaining, you know, the reason for life, why we're here, experiencing for God. I know when sometimes people are going through some really tough times, it's like they look up and go, okay, God, are you experiencing this? You know, are we done yet?
Yeah.
Can we get through this? There was a question in the chat room. Somebody said, do you know anything about the movie of Sylvia's life? She announced it 3 years ago. Actually, all kinds of trying to promote a movie, and this one wonderful lady that did a sizzle reel really thought the world would love a movie about life on the other side, or the other side and back, you know, to let everyone really know what happens, you know, when we graduate and stuff. But I don't know if anybody has any connections in, you know, Hollywood, then help us out here. I'm sure it will happen eventually. So, shall we continue on?
Sure. All right. On our mark, get set, part two.
More than 60 lives, though. Never have. In 50 years, I've never seen anybody with more than 60 lives. So this thing about you get on the wheel of life and you never end is ridiculous, because you know, and I bet you right now, most of you in here know in your soul that you're on your last life. You just know it. You know why? Because you know you don't want to come back. I don't want to come back. I don't care if they told me I'd have all the jewels in the world. I would look like Marilyn Monroe. Forget it. And, you know, if you say that to a lot of people, they think you're negative. No, it's just hell here. This is a hellhole. It's a bad camping trip, isn't it? Now, some people, every time I say this, will write me and say, but I've had a wonderful life. Does that mean that I'm off track? Of course not. We've all had wonderful lives at some time, but usually on your last life, I don't know what's wrong with us, something. But we do pick everything we haven't done before. It's like we save it up. You know, it's like when you think you're going to graduate and you go to your counselor in college, and they say, I'm sorry, you haven't taken chemistry and calculus and speech. It's what happens in last life. Everything that you do makes you stronger, makes you wiser, even if you're going through a desert period. And this is the thing you've got to realize. If you're sitting there, and I know so many of you, because I do 20-minute readings a day, say to me, but what have I done? All I've done is live alone, or all I've done is raise kids, or all I've done is work my life. All I've done is take care of my parents. For God's sake, you came down here. You survived this hellhole. You got up in the morning and hopefully you took a shower or a bath. You got ready and you moved. That's enough. Sure, we can't all be Mother Teresa. I don't know if we all want to be. She was a saint. I don't know why they had her beatified. Just go straight to sainthood. No, because she was wonderful. But, you know, another thing that just makes me kind of crazy, everybody that gets to heaven is a saint. It's not just Mother Teresa, and I'm not knocking her down. All your relatives in heaven are saints. Absolutely. They're all saints. And here's another thing. Don't be praying for the dead. What's wrong with you? Please pray for us. We're in hell. They're having a great time. You say, oh, no, I have to light candles for the dead. Light one for you. They made the race. They're done. Well, let's have a requiem so their soul goes over. Well, that's now. We'll get into the hauntings. A haunting is an aggravated, misplaced, even let's use the word deranged spirit, not evil. Stop with this. The spirit threw me down the stairs and tore my hair off and tried to have sex with me. Some of you, wishful thinking doesn't work. Only if he's cute. It's all right then. A woman said to me, this ghost keeps getting in bed with me. I said, what does he look like? Send him over. My address is, no. No, you get elevated beyond that. Sure you do. No, but that's a tabloid thing. No, when you have that kind of thing, you have to go to the doctor and get medication. You know that. But spirits can ghosts. It's like Toys R Us, my failure. It's my failure. He will not go, will not go. I'm sure you've seen it on that old show. That's incredible. It keeps showing up somewhere. I go down the aisle of Toys R Us in Sunnyvale, California, talking to the air, as people think I am. And he says to me, if you talk to me any more about death, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. So rather than cut him off at the heels or the knees, so to speak, I still go down and talk to him. But he is totally deranged. He thinks that Beth, he died in 1888, he thinks Beth is going to come back from Boston and marry him. Does not know it is the year 2003, does not believe me, thinks he still is on the Martin Murphy Ranch. That's what a ghost does. He thinks, or she thinks, or they think that you're occupying their space. And they're just ticked off that you are cooking on their stove. You're messing around with their stuff. You're an intruder. And some people like their ghosts. If you cohabitate with a ghost, fine. But please, for the sake of them, because eventually somebody will come and get them, tell them to go to God. Tell them that they're dead. Now, if they don't want to go, then tell them to be nice. Say, we can be nice. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. And once in a while, it isn't wrong to go around your house with salt. Don't let your neighbors see it. Tell them it's for the snails. Go through your house with a crucifix, make the sign of the cross, use holy water, and you know you can make your own holy water. Put it in the sun, make the sign of the cross over it three times, it's your holy water. Why do you need to go to somebody that can't? You can bless. Of course you can. You don't have to be ordained. God ordained you. It's not just a ritual that ordains you. It's nice to have one, you know, because we ordain our ministers too, but that's just a ritual. You're all ordained to be from God. Everyone is the same. See, what I'm so worried about, let me diverge just a minute, is that now in this day and age when religion, not meaning to, has failed a lot of people, what we're going to see is a lot of occultism coming up. Please, anybody who says that they have the whole truth, run. Anybody who tries to control, or we're going to have a Jim Jones thing and we'll all be drinking Kool-Aid. No. And there is a guy in L.A. that worries me a lot. And he says he's Buddha, Jesus, and Mohammedan. I said, no wonder he's so fat. He's, you know, he's got too many people in there. And you can't believe the people that you see on the big screen that you think are smart that are following this. Now, my girlfriend, which I will not mention her name because you know who she is. I mean, you'd know if I said it. said to me that he looked bloated. And I said, all right, you know, you want, why? Well, she said, you know, because there's been a lot of floods, and he's flown over and absorbed all the water. I said, all right. Now there's fires in L.A. I said, why doesn't he take his fat ass over now? And put the fires out. Does that make sense? Well, I have to go. Goodbye. Oh, yeah, right. See, we have to have logic. You know, it's just insanity. No one has the whole truth, not even on the other side. Wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be horribly disappointed if we knew it all? If on the other side we didn't keep knowing about God and finding out about the mysteries and researching and discovering, we'll never stop. How boring would it be to be just floating around on a cloud with a harp? Who'd want to go? No, it's a real place with real people, I swear to you. Because I did research for years, and it was amazing to me. People from different denominations, different religions, different sectors of the world. Atheists, even, who all saw the same topography. They saw the Hall of Wisdom. They saw the Hall of Records. They saw the meadows. They saw the gardens. Everything. Now, how could they see this? Because a lot of people believe there were pearly gates and, you know, St. Peter checking you off. Everybody saw. And this wasn't just in death and dying. This was in astral travel. And this was in regressive therapy. Because I love these scientific minds who say, well, of course everybody sees everything the same because it's deprivation of oxygen. Oh, come on. You can deprive, let's say, everybody in this front row of oxygen, and everybody would have a different experience. How stupid. This one guy stood up on television and said that. I said, where did you get that from? He said, I read it. I said, oh, shut up and sit down, idiot.
Sylvia sure beats around the bush, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh. So she was talking about doing the house blessing and the salt. You want to use sea salt is for purpose and steadfastness and grounding your channel. No iodine salt. Grounding your channel to Almighty God. And then you put a circle around the house. It doesn't have to be real thick. You don't have to really see a huge line, you know, just, you know, go around the house and let it pour out in a complete circle around your house. And she kind of did a really quick thing on the holy water. Actually, we were told that to make holy water, you get filtered water, you know, like at the store. And preferably you put it in a crystal glass container in the sun at eternity hour, like a 9 or 12 or 3 or 6, and you make the sign of the cross on it, over it, and ask God to bless it, and then you go out there an hour and make the sign of the cross over it again, ask God to bless it, and then in the third hour, make the sign of the cross, ask God to bless it, and then take it out of the sun, and you have holy water. And then we'll go through actually what you're supposed to do as you go through the house and somehow maybe write up what you're supposed to say when you go through and bless your house or try to, you know, have a ghost pass over. Have you ever done that, Tom?
Yeah, I've done a couple of house blessings. Not any ghost extinguishings or exterminator, but done house blessings just to, you know, help with the energy in the house. And I did go on a one of our ghost investigations years ago when I took the video tape recorder to watch and see if anything was happening, but it that one time it just seemed like it was residual energy in the room.
Yeah, actually, people get a little freaked out when they actually have a ghost in their house. A couple of places I've been to, you know, they have all these crucifixes all around the house. And this one friend of Sylvia's son, Chris, a big, you know, bodybuilder guy, and his girlfriend, I went out to their place, and he was telling me, he goes, yeah, actually, we saw footprints in the kitchen floor, and it went through, like, right through the sink. And my girlfriend turned on the light, and I said, quick, you know, turn the light back off. But he goes, they were gone. And then, apparently, she felt it was in this one room. She'd hear noises, so she took, like, baby powder and spread it all over the carpet, and then shut the door and locked it. And then when she came back, there were footprints in the powder.
Cool.
So, yeah, they were a little freaked out. But, you know, basically people have to really kind of be aggressive and demanding that they go back to where they come from or, you know, go to the light. I was reading in the chat room, I guess Sonia had a ghost, and it took her a couple of years to get rid of it. But good for you, Sonia. Good job helping them. I mean, I like that TV show, Ghost Whisperer. It gets a little bit of kind of Hollywood thing, but it's kind of cool, you know, that she can talk to spirits.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to clarify something, too. You know, Sylvia has always kind of told us that there's no evil spirits, no, you know, demons in spirit forms. And when Francine was giving us information about the angels, one of the phylum of angels, the Carrions, it's kind of like in the movie Ghost, where that, you know, Patrick Swayze didn't go to the light because that bad person, evil person, was trying to hurt his wife, and so he stuck around, and when that person died, the little black things came up from the ground and, you know, kind of took him away. Well, it's not black things, it's actually the Carrions are, you know, responsible for escorting the dark entities into the left door to be reborn right back into Earth again. They don't make the transition, they don't get to go to the other side, they don't become a spirit, you know, hanging around. They are, you know, immediately escorted through the left door, and they'll be back, born back into here to create more problems and hassles and lessons for us. And then eventually, when this schematic is done, Francine said that they'll just be absorbed back into God. So that's cool, you know, people, to help people know that they don't have to be afraid of spirits or ghosts, you know, being mischievous in their house and stuff.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't want people to be scared. It's they don't have to be scared. They actually have to be kind of aggressive and to, you know, demand.
Stand your ground. Yeah.
Yeah, and demand that they go to the light or go back to where they come from. Well, since I'm telling stories,
go ahead.
Well, I went with Sylvia to the Brookdale Lodge, which is here in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and it's kind of a cool a restaurant that has a stream that runs through it, and they were having problems. They were trying.
The picture that came from there. Go ahead, finish. Go ahead, finish the story. I love the picture.
Yeah. And I even took a movie camera so I could try to capture something, you know, on film, because there was a TV crew from L.A. that was filming, you know, her talking to the ghost. And the ghost was actually he's called Judge. And she goes, you were a judge or that was your name? He goes, well, that was my, you know, that's my name. And she's talking away at him. Why are you, you know, creating problems for these people that are just trying to fix it up? And he basically said, well, it's not their place. It's my place. You know, I don't want them to fix it up. And then she also said that she saw a little girl in a window. Apparently there was a little girl that accidentally drowned in the creek that runs through the restaurant there. And then we were done and we went outside and I took my camera and got nothing on the film, of course. But I looked at Sylvia and like right in the front of her dress was like a round spot, like about an inch and a half of like white powder. And I'm looking at her and I go, what is that? And she looks down and she just kind of brushes it off. I go, wait a minute. You know, I wanted to take a picture of it or something because it obviously was what's called ectoplasm because of her communicating with the spirit for that long a time or whatever. It created this little, you know, spot of ectoplasm on the front of her dress. And that was pretty cool.
Did you ever see Larry's picture from that visiting there?
No, what was it?
Oh, my God. There was a picture of her straight, you know, like standing in front of, I think it was the fireplace in the place. A picture of her. She was perfectly positioned in the picture. However, the entire image behind her had a corkscrew look to it.
Huh. Well,
and
yeah, mostly
I thought that was the most unique thing I'd ever seen. It's like, you know, I personally don't know how you could do that with photography equipment. You know, if someone was trying to debunk the thing, but it's like, oh, it was very, very unique.
Well, we actually have video of her talking to the Toys R Us ghost, Yanni Janssen, and everybody was actually sitting down in the aisle, and then they had two cameras, infrared and, you know, another camera, and they did capture his figure there standing in the aisleway. And it's actually kind of sad because, you know, when Sylvia is trying to tell him, you know, you're not alive. If you go to the light, you'll, you know, you'll find, you know, Beth or, you know, what you're looking for. And I guess he said, you know, if you're going to talk about this, you know, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And then all of a sudden she had this really sad look on her face. It's like, you know, her most publicized failure because the spirit, Yanni Janssen, you know, did not want to talk about it. I think he still haunts the Toys R Us ghost to this day in Sunnyvale, California here.
I had gone there a couple of years ago just for the fun of it, and they've rearranged the shelves, so it's like I couldn't compare the from the TV show, from the scenes in the picture that I'd seen of the show, exactly where that was, because they turned everything on the floor.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk to the managers and stuff there to see, because I guess they were having all kinds of problems, and, you know, women that would feel their hair, you know, being pulled up and stuff, and the crew, the night crew, would, like, lock up the store and go eat and come back, and then there was, like, you know, stuff in the middle of the floor, you know, when they came back. So it can be kind of scary, you know, this kind of ghost stuff.
Sure, if you're not aware or not sure what it is that's doing that stuff, yeah.
Right, or if you think that they could be evil or something, which they can't. So we'll get the complete instructions for doing the house blessing, and we'll make some kind of link or something. So, or people, of course, can always call me at the office here or email me, michael@novus.org, and we'll help you get rid of a ghost. I have a message here from somebody that has a ghost in the 507 area code. So it's happening, you know, quite a bit. Should we go ahead and go for our third segment here?
Sure. Here we go.
Because you read it. Halfwit. Anyway. Montel just goes, you're a mess. You're just a mess. Ghosts are not bad. They can be. The two most frightening ghosts that I ever ran into was the Bela Lugosi ghost. And I am older, but believe it or not, it was before my time. And strangely enough, the Hitchcock House. most frightening places that I had ever been. Never want to go back again, and very few things frighten me. Horrible, 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 frightening, scary, bad. So you've also got to realize that something that you should be aware of is what we call an imprint. In other words, you can go into a place and it's not haunted, but you feel bad. And why you feel bad is because something bad has happened there as imprinted itself on the place. Because all of life is like, let's say, clay. And everything we do makes a mark. So when you go into some place, or even a person, be aware of this. If you're with a person, you may love them dearly. But if they drain you, they're not good for you. Do you see what I mean? Their energy may not, they might not be a dark entity. And then I also addressed something that I said I'd never address because I was afraid that everybody would have one. You know how that goes. And that's called psychic attack. And psychic attack is when, and he said, yes, but Sylvia, if you see the next program, he said, you don't believe in curses? Of course not. And don't ever go to Madam so-and-so, who, you know, cross your palm with silver and take the curse off of you. There's no such a thing as curses. Do you know in this day and age, doing 20 readings a day, I bet you every single day I get somebody who thinks they're cursed. Will you stop with that and stop paying people to take that stupid stuff off you? What makes you think that Madam, whoever it is, Zorro, can take a curse off you? Let's say even if you were. Who's she? The only person that curses you, you know who curses you? You. And haven't you seen people who are so negative, so miserable, that damn, everything happens to them? Because thoughts are things. It's Murphy's Law. I think every bad thing's going to happen to me, and sure enough, it does. Yes, even with a chart, because some people can have bad things happen to them. What happens? They get up, brush themselves off. Sure, they have pain and suffering, but they go on. The ghost is nothing to be afraid of. Spirit guide is nothing to be afraid of. Angels are blessings, but a psychic attack can be when someone hates you so badly, or you can be in a group or an office, and maybe they don't even know they're doing it, but you feel it. Do you see what I mean? You absorb it. Like I've always said, germs don't make us sick. People make us sick. Don't be psychically attacked by your environment. I have a friend, and she's good. She's a white entity. But I can spend 30 minutes with her, and I need a blood transfusion. She just... It's her energy. It's just something about her. It's like... Yeah. And you know what? You know what really causes that is when you get a person, and God love him, it's the me person, isn't it? Me. I, and you're like, oh. And if you ever notice, why don't people know that you've glazed over? Why aren't they aware? They just keep talking to you, and you're like this. Or you're doing this. Or get a clue. You're boring. Read a book. Do something. Some woman said to me the other day, I don't have any friends. I said, that's because you're not one. True, isn't it? You don't have any friends out there, then you're not one. Take a chance getting a reading from me. No, and it's okay not to always be loving and sweet. I hate that. Don't you hate these people always loving and sweet? Phony, phony, phony. People say, oh, I love everybody. No, you don't. You're an idiot. What's wrong with you? Or I never say a bad word about anybody. What's wrong with you, too? There's nothing nicer than to sit and dish about somebody, isn't it? What do you think confession was started from? You know, what was that one line in the movie? You have something bad to say, come over and sit by me. Oh, I love that. Wasn't that Olympia Dukakis? Yeah. Of course there's people we don't like, and it's fun to talk about that. And it's, oh, but, you know, God hears us. As if God doesn't know what we're going to say. And that's what I think is so amazing. People say, I have to pray every day to tell God what I'm doing. What, God doesn't know what you're doing? It's like the part in the Bible, and I don't want to knock the Bible, but what scares me is when God says, Eve, where's Adam? What do you mean God doesn't know where Adam is? Does that scare you? It scares me. You know what you do every morning? You brush your teeth, hopefully. At least the ones you want to keep. Every morning when you brush your teeth, you surround yourself with the white light of the Holy Spirit. You ask that mirrors surround you, that all negativity, that anyone that's psychically attacking you, that they reflect themselves. That way you're not sending anything bad, you just want them to reflect themselves. You see what I mean? Because when evil reflects itself, it will not stay. And good, if it reflects itself, will stay. And dear God, this day is for you, and then go about your business. You mean to tell me you have to ask God for everything? God doesn't know. Sure, I talk to Mother and Father God. You must know that there's got to be a Mother God, don't you? What the hell were we made out of? Has anybody figured that out? Adam's rib, I'd have been a hell of a lot thinner. So stupid. Almost every religion in the world believe in a Mother God except us. You know what they gave us was Mary. They said, here, Mary. Now, every time Mary appears, what does she say she is? Think. Mother, she says, I am the Mother of God. Portugal, Guadalupe, Fatima. Every time. People say, oh, I don't know if that's Christian. What do you mean you don't know if it's Christian or not? Of course it is. It's just like I had somebody say, well, I don't know how reincarnation fits into Christianity. Well, it of course it does. It just means that God gives you more chances than one to be an idiot. Oh, God has to have a sense of humor. Look next to you. Had a sense of humor. Everybody forgets that. He said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Do you know what that means? If you're going to be meek and mild, this is all the crap you get is this. Think about it. You want to be mealy mouth? This is what you get. Ooh. Do I love life? Yes, I love life, but I think we've been taking down so many roads we just got nuts with it. We didn't know what to believe anymore. If we ate meat on Friday, we died on Saturday, we went to hell. And then they said, no, it changed. So now everybody came up from hell. There's no hell. Besides, can you imagine all loving God would want you to burn forever? Except for my ex-husband. I said, God, I've given my whole life to you. I ask you for this one favor. And make it slow. Very slow. Rotating, you know. It's another thing that drives me crazy. It's this word forgiveness. Just drives me insane. There's a lot of things you can't forgive in life. Get over it. Don't forgive it. Just give it to God. People say, oh, but I haven't forgiven it. Do you know what the saying is? To forgive is divine. Isn't that true? We're not in the state of divinity yet. It's okay to hate evil. It's okay. Who in this room is going to raise their hand and tell me they like or they love Osama?
Yeah, for sure. And that's a tough lesson. But from my personal experience, that's, I think, is the best way to do it is, you know, when there's an injustice that you just can't you know, get yourself to let go. It's, you know, or forgive yourself. Just concentrate on giving that to God. Say, here, you take care of it. And so he's told us stories in the past of a mother that was the victim. One of her children was murdered, and the news reporter, being nosy, said, well, did you forgive him yet? And the lady says, no, I gave it to God. You know, I can't forgive that, so I gave it to God. And it is helpful. It is, so we're not living with that, you know, evil thought of, you know, revenge within us. You know, the old adage, if you're going for revenge, dig two graves. You know, it is relieving to say, here, God, you take care of it, and then trust God is going to serve justice as needed.
Okay, also, too, in the chat room, there was a question. I was talking about doing the house blessing, and Asna Lover was asking about sage, because I guess some people or Native Americans would use sage, you know, doing a house blessing. We were never taught that. Sylvia never really recommended it. And of course, you know, being her down-to-earth funny self, she would just go like, poo, man, what is that smell? It's like, oh, a burning sage. You know, put it out. So I don't think that's necessary. But, of course, if you want to, it's fine. It's whatever, you know, you would like to use is fine. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Michael. No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Tag, you're it. Along the lines of, you know, prayers and blessings, too, I've told people, you know, that want to do a blessing of some kind, you know, blessing for a house or, whether, you know, some people like to bless their cars. It's whatever you want to put into it, whatever you like. Yes, we can suggest things, you know, offer ideas, but it's like whatever you want to put into it, whatever energy, whatever thoughts that you want to put into, that just adds that much more of your energy into that blessing and you know, what you're asking for.
Also, too, in the chat room, people are asking about this CD and if it's the Tools for Life, which if CDs are not really available anymore. I mean, I can't get them through Hay House, but this is not that CD. This is called Angels, Guides, and Ghosts. And Ron, you can always call me at the office here. We have copies here. And, of course, buying, you know, books and CDs from the office does help out Nova Spiritus. And my direct number is 408-440-3266. 408-440-3266. Maybe I'll put that in the chat room too. And what I was going
to
ask.
Or you can listen to us over and over again off the internet.
Did we have a caller that had a question?
Yes. Let's see. Let me pull up here. Annette from California. I'm going to put her on. If the selector will work properly. There we go. Annette from California. Do you have a question?
I do, yes.
Go right ahead.
I feel that I have some sort of ghost or something in the building that I live in. It's an old schoolhouse that was built back in the 1800s. And also,
mm-hmm.
I've lost like three loved ones within a year. And I'm just wondering who's around me the most, or if it's them that's here with me at my apartment.
Well, that's a good question. Michael and I don't answer psychic questions.
Okay.
However, but that's fine. You can get confirmation of who that is. One method is you can ask in your dreams that they visit you in your dreams and say, okay, help me understand who this is. As well as if it's a deceased loved one that's around you, ask them to help you clarify who it is by, you know, different deceased loved ones will give you different clues, things that only you would know or are important to them that you understand. So if they bring a coin, you know, maybe it'll have their birth year on it or something significant so you can identify, oh, it's this person or oh, it's that person. That's a very common method that that happens. Sometimes they'll either someone will ring the phone and what is it? The phone rings and you pick it up and there's nobody there. That's a common. That's usually a deceased loved one that does something of that nature. I've heard stories. Friends say that they'll be in, like, walk into a kitchen and the lights are on, but the lights will flicker. You know, when there's no reason, no one's playing with the light switch, there's nothing wrong with the power, but the lights flicker. That's another indication, potential indication that there's a loved one around, just letting you know that they're there. And what you can do is ask a question, say, hey, if this is, you know, Mary, Joe, or Fred, you know, one of my relatives, you know, say, try something, you know, show something, show yourself in some way. And wait for a reaction. See what kind of a response that you get.
That's interesting that you say that. Am I live online?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because that does make sense. When I found out that my father had passed away, I dreamt the dreams. And the way that I found out is by waking up and Googling his name and seeing his obituary. He was coming to me in his dreams to let me know that he had passed 8 months prior to the date that I found out that he passed.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yes, it's very interesting. And I was just wanted to know, you know, am I going to get out of this desert period? My mom's in the hospital with her double hip replacement right now, and I've been taking care of her and trying to take care of myself, and I just wondered if Sylvia had any suggestions on what to do.
Well, she's not here at the time to be asking questions. Yeah, the short question answer to the desert period is yes, you will, and that's not psychically. It's just at some point it does come to an end, and you can always ask that time speeds up for your lessons. So if you feel that, hey, I'm done with this. This is getting ridiculous. You know, ask for you can ask your guides, ask angels to say, okay, let's speed up the time. Let's get this done with, and you know, make it shorter. But while you are in the desert period, as Sylvia was talking about, stop and learn to quiet your mind to say, okay, what kind of messages do I get? What kind of things, information am I getting as far as infusion goes? So, you know, it's a time to, maybe you don't feel like there's a lot going on, but there's a lot of things that you can do, you know, while it seems like you're standing still.
Okay. That gives me some clarity.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I can go on and on, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh gosh, there's so many things I would like to say. I just love Sylvia to death. I mean, she has helped me so much through the past few years. If it weren't for her, I really don't know what a lot of things would have happened.
Well, good. I'm glad.
All right.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, Annette, well, thank you for your call. I don't know if you're in Northern California or not, but we do have spiritual services every Sunday here in San Jose.
That, and my mom is actually out there in Sunnyvale right now. That's where she had her surgery, out there at Stanford, so I'm not too far.
Well, great. Well, come check us out. We guarantee you'll leave feeling better than when you got here.
I most definitely know that I will, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Annette.
Give Chris and Sylvia my love.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, actually, we're wrapping it up here. So the house blessing prayer that you use when you go through the house with the holy water, and then what I would do is put your finger in it and make the sign of the cross over the doorway and each window. And you carry a white candle and a cross, not a crucifix, just a regular cross. And the prayer is, in the name of our Heavenly Father, Holy Mother, and Divine Son, we ask that the Holy Spirit cleanse and purify this room so that no darkness can remain or enter. Encompass this room completely and wholly with your love and your protection. Amen. And the note is, after all the rooms are blessed, the following prayer should be said for the individuals in the house. Is, dear God, let all who reside here and enter this home be imbued with your love, protection, and light. Amen. So really want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll probably go through the other, part two of Angels, Guides, and Ghosts next week. And we hope that you join us. And we're very happy to be doing the radio show. Want to continue to have wonderful information from Sylvia, Francine, and Raheem. I wanted to thank Bob Ingold is helping in the chat room. He's one of our deacons here in San Jose. Thank you, Bob, for helping out. Appreciate that. And I am your host, Michael McClellan, with my co-host, Tom Bigley. Tom, any last words?
Yeah, I'm glad you are all listening, and really appreciate people that, if you can't get to us at this time, there are a lot of people. Michael, you should look at the list of how many people listen after the show. So I appreciate people listening and as well, when they can. It's exciting to know that we're reaching so many people and that so many people are interested.
Definitely. And if you have a question or comment, feedback, whatever, we're open. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we will be broadcasting every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, coming to you live from San Jose. We hope you'll tune in, keep connected, share the knowledge, and God bless you. Good night.